Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we are going to continue our discussion of the holy name. Yesterday's topic was the role of japa in bhakti, and that leads into the next topic, which is chanting with humility and appreciation. Purusha Shukta Prabhu has requested me to mention that there's been a change in the order of talk today. This one was scheduled for the late afternoon, and now it's been rescheduled for the morning. The other two have been moved.
Okay.
Yeah. So the point we had come to yesterday is that the holy name is Krishna himself. There's no difference between the name Krishna and the person Krishna. So the question can be raised that Krishna is completely spiritual. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. So how can we, with our material senses, touch Krishna? That is answered in the next verse. That's your cue. Atavari Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grayam Indriyai Seva Mukhe Hi Jiva Dao Swayam Eva Spuratyata. Material senses cannot, therefore, meaning because Krishna's name is Krishna and Krishna is all spiritual, therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified, and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Now, Atasri Krishna Nam Adi. Nam means the holy name, and Adi means, and so on. His form, qualities, past titles, and so on. Seva means service. And that service begins, Ada means first, with the tongue. Jiva. And as Srila Prabhupada repeatedly instructs, service with the tongue begins by chanting the holy name and tasting Krishna Prasad. But I would like to extend the meaning of seva here to preaching the glories of the holy name. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he who explains the supreme secret, which is to surrender to Krishna and become his devotee and always engage the mind in him, that one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees is most dear to him, and one will never be more dear to him. And that for such a person, devotional service is guaranteed, and in the end, he will go back home, back to Godhead. So, Sometimes I compare the distribution of the holy name to distribution of books, because we're giving people Krishna in the form of Prabhupada's books, we're giving people Krishna in the form of the holy name. And that is, that service pleases Krishna the most. If it's presumed, not just presumed, Prabhupada has taught us that to have the potency to preach, we ourselves have to follow. So it's, when we talk about preaching, it doesn't mean that we're not practicing it. The practicing is the basis of the preaching. And just as the distribution of the books is not an end in itself, we want people to read the books and follow them. Therefore, we've developed programs for teaching the books. In the same way, just distributing the holy name in and of itself is not the end. We want people to chant properly. And now we're developing programs like Japa Retreats and Japa Workshops to discuss how to chant properly, how to receive the gift of the holy name and take the best advantage of it. So that is service to the holy name. And when the holy name is pleased with our service, he reveals himself to us. Spurati means to manifest, to have a glimpse of Krishna as the holy name. And so all of us, what we get from this retreat, if we not only practice it in our own lives, but if we share what we've learned with others, that's also service to the holy name, and the holy name will be pleased with us, and by the mercy of the holy name we'll be able to chant better and have more realization of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Now, we have discussed in relation to the verse that one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. That in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said that of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's instruction to chant 16 rounds daily is most essential, in order to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And that all other positive prescriptions and negative prohibitions are servants of these two principles, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Here, this is a quotation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami. He says, Taramatye sarvashrestha nama sankirtana nirapararī nama vaila vaya premadana. Of the nine processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the ten kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. That is our goal. Prema Kumartha Maha. Develop love for Krishna. And with love for Krishna comes full revelation of Krishna. And we actually enter into Krishna's direct service. So, these, the positive prescriptions, they're like do's and don'ts. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami begins with 10 do's, beginning with that one to take shelter of the spiritual master, one should learn from him, one should take initiation from him, one should inquire of him, one should follow the previous acharya. Those are like the preliminary do's. And then there's 10 preliminary don'ts. And among the don'ts is don't commit offenses. And specifically, the most important kind of offense to avoid is nama-parada, offense against the holy name. Because it is said that if one commits offenses in the course of deity worship, which is called seva-aparada, one can take shelter of the Lord and be relieved of the offenses. And if one is so unfortunate to commit offenses against the Lord directly, still one can take shelter of the holy name and get relief. But if one commits offenses against the holy name, there's no recourse. So it's like your last chance to chant is to chant the holy name, take shelter of the holy name, and not commit offenses. So we will leave the question of what to do if we do commit offenses against the holy name hanging, just to keep you a little bit in suspense, because we all need to know the answer to that question. But before we come to the answer, which we will come to soon, we'll proceed. So, coming to the point that the holy name is Krishna and we want to surrender to Krishna as the holy name, these are the six divisions of surrender, the six elements of surrender, and they apply to surrender to Krishna, they apply to surrender to the holy name. And some of the devotees in their talks yesterday have actually expressed that mood of surrender. Like Mother Bhumi in particular, she was saying how she knew that if she surrendered to the holy name, that the holy name would like solve all of her problems and take care of her in all respects. And that's true. And that's part of surrender, having that faith. Because if you're worried, like, oh, I have to take care of myself, you know, I have to deal with this, I have to deal with that, on my own strength, then we won't be able to surrender. And the more we surrender to Krishna, the more he takes over. The more we make our own arrangements, the more Krishna thinks, well, he's taking care of himself, I don't have to take care of him. Of course, we don't want to take service from Krishna, that's another point. But in the process of surrendering to Krishna, we want to depend on him. We do engage in work. We have livelihoods. It doesn't mean, okay, I'm just going to surrender to Krishna and let him take care of me. Although he does, in a very advanced stage, ananyas chintayantro mam, if one can like really be absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours without any deviation or distraction, Krishna will provide. There are rare souls, Babaji, at the Govardhan,
who they really do nothing but chant the holy name. They really do nothing else but chant the holy name. And Krishna takes care of them. But unless we have that qualification of being able to be absorbed at 24 hours without deviation, we do. And even if we could, if we're living in society, we also have to set a proper example. So we do, you know, have jobs and businesses and so on. But ultimately, we have faith in Krishna. And when we chant, that's the whole idea, that when we chant, we shouldn't be worrying about our material maintenance and protection. Like, we all tend to think, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, and, you know, like, oh, there's this much in the bank, and this much came in, and this much had, you know, accounting job, and all those things. It really indicates that we don't have faith that the Holy Name will take care of us. And therefore, that faith is the first ingredient for surrender. So just to quickly go through how this verse applies to japa. Anukulyasya sankalpa. We should accept whatever is favorable. Examples of what is favorable are getting up early in the morning, which actually begins the night before, which with taking rest early, not eating heavy at night, so one can get up early, then, you know, taking baths, chanting straight away when one's mind is clear and the atmosphere is more conducive in the early hours. That's an example. Pratikulyasya varjanam, to reject what is unfavorable, that could be just the opposite, you know, staying up late, eating heavy. But in particular, it means to avoid the offenses, to reject those activities that are offensive. And we'll come to that. Then, Rakshishyati Vishwasa, the strong conviction. Vishwas is like a synonym of Shraddha, strong conviction that Krishna will protect me. This is Krishna Mare Rake Ke, Krishna Rake Mare Ke. That if Krishna wants to protect you, who can kill you? And if Krishna wants to kill you, who can protect you? So we should. And to have faith that he is our guardian, like a father or husband who protects the child or wife, in all respects, provides, protects, does whatever is needed. So the devotee has faith that in that relationship with Krishna, that Krishna will do anything for me and everything for me that a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a master or employer would do for me. Srila Prabhupada said that if you work for an ordinary company to make publicity for them, you know, advertising, they pay you. So if we're making publicity for Krishna, do we think he won't take care of us? He will. Then, Atma Nikshepa, that means like full surrender of one's self. Atma means self. It can mean body or mind or self, and we surrender all of those, and especially when we chant, we fully engage our sense of hearing, sense of touch, and the mind,
But our whole life should be like that, surrendered to the service of the Lord, service of the Holy Name, service of the spiritual master. And karapanya, that means humility. That's a very important point. It's a point that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given instructions to us about again and again. That it is humility is the ornament of the Vaishnava. And it is humility that attracts the Lord. So now we will discuss two verses from the Shikshastakam that actually describe two different types of humility. This is the first one. Nam nam akari bahudani sarvashakti tatyakitani amasalaneha hala
ekadrishita paripava ramanumati durdayoni vishanamana nanarada.
O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy name, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So, there's no consideration of time, place, or circumstance. Like with deity worship, there are many considerations. You have to be twice initiated, you have to take a bath, you have to wear fresh cloth. There's so many conditions. But with chanting the holy name, there are no conditions. Once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to heed the call of nature, so he was holding his tongue. So one young boy named Gopal asked him, why are you holding your tongue? And the Lord replied, well, I'm going to evacuate, I'm going to heed the call of nature. And my tongue keeps chanting the holy name, but I don't want to bring the holy name where I'm going to be heeding the call of nature. And the boy said, but Lord, we have to remember the holy name at the time of death, and death could come at any moment. So we should always chant, even when we're doing that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, you are right. You are my guru. And then that small boy got the name Gopal Guru. And later he became a great acharya, Gopal Guru Goswami. So there are no hard and fast rules. We can chant anywhere and everywhere, and we should. Now, in the third line, you have Tava Kripa, that the Lord is so merciful that he makes himself so easily approachable. But Mama Durdaiva, like he is merciful, but I'm unfortunate. My misfortune is that I don't have attachment for chanting. I don't have taste for chanting because I commit senses. And this combination makes one humble. If one is
appreciating the Lord's mercy, and at the same time feeling one's own misfortune in committing offenses, that creates the mood of humility. Appreciation for the Lord's mercy and humility at our own failing. And if we think of those six symptoms of surrender when we chant, and then we observe our mind, how it wanders and what we're thinking about, we realize actually we don't have faith in the Holy Name. We don't have faith in Krishna. We think we have to make our own arrangements. And in a deeper sense, it comes back to the basic reason we're in the material world, that we're envious of Krishna and we wanted to take his place. It's demonic. But we all have that. In Kali Yuga, everyone has the divine side and the demonic side. And so that, I mean, I know myself when I consider what's underlying all these different thoughts that I have while I'm chanting. It comes to that. Ishwaroham Maham Bodhi. Described in relation to the demons, but we all have that in us. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. Actually, I'm probably committing Vaishnava Parada right on the spot here while giving a lecture on it. But in terms of myself, that's what I see. That I'm thinking of all these things, but what's underlying it? Ishwaroham, I think I'm the controller. I'm not letting Krishna take control. And Aham Bodhi, I think I'm the enjoyer. I'm always thinking of making arrangements for my enjoyment. That's what it comes to. Making arrangements means I want to control things. Why do I want to control things? I want to arrange them in such a way that I can enjoy. So when one realizes that demonic element within one's own self, a bit humbling. Like Ravindra Swarup Prabhu often quotes, "We have seen the enemy, and it is us." It's all within us. It's not Krishna. It's not Krishna. He's merciful. He's giving us every facility. It's us. It's the mind. The mind can be the best friend or it can be the worst enemy. And engaging the mind in hearing the Holy Name is making the mind act as a friend. Prabhupada says no one is a friend or enemy intrinsically, but by their actions, they act as friends or they act as enemies. So the mind is like that. It's not intrinsically a friend or an enemy. So this is a desperate attempt to fix the mind on the Holy Name. And the only way we can do it is by surrendering in the mood of helplessness and praying to Krishna, praying to the previous acharyas, praying to the spiritual master. Raghunath Das Goswami says that when the highwaymen of lust and anger and greed attack us and try to rob us of all of our spiritual efforts and intentions, one can do nothing but call out to the merciful acharyas, to the great souls to save us. And that is really, at some stage, that's all we can do. Because we are powerless. It's like trying to find Krishna. It's not within our power. We continue our efforts, and we pray for mercy. And we can pray directly to the Holy Name for mercy, and we can pray to Chaitanya. Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Haridas Thakur. For years, I never went to Jagannath Puri. I think last year was the first year I went. And the reason is because, one of the reasons is because all the holy places are included in Mayapur, and there's a section in Mayapur that is Jagannath Puri, and it's the Mantadri, there are ancient deities of Jagannath, and it's considered to be not different from Jagannath Puri. But eventually I thought, even though there's Jagannath Purim or Jagannath is there, but what I really need to chant the holy name is the mercy of Haridas Thakur. That was my main reason for going to Jagannath Puri some months ago, to beg Haridas Thakur for his mercy to be able to chant the holy name. And the devotees are more merciful than the Lord. Of course, the holy name is also more merciful than the Lord. So we can pray to them. And sometimes chant loudly, like once I asked Srila Prabhupada, like how, you know, when my mind is distracted, how could I fix it on the holy name? So he said, chant loudly. And another disciple asked the same question, because we would go out to Bombay to preach and make like numbers and get support. And the other disciple, another Dravida, asked Srila Prabhupada, he said the same thing, chant loudly and constantly. And then Dravida said, but like, what if I'm riding in the elevator? There'd be so many people in close quarters, you know. If it doesn't matter, I'll get rid of them. So, crying out to the holy name, crying out to the holy name, crying out to the Vaishnava. And desperately trying to chant in here, just chant, not give up. Prabhupada used to quote this cartoon that appeared in a magazine. An old man and an old woman were sitting across from each other, that's a husband and wife. And the lady was saying, chant, chant, chant. And the man was saying, can't, can't, can't. So we do have this causeless reluctance to chant and glorify the Lord. But we want to be glorified. I know. Anyway. Like if there's some talk going on in the room, can't really hear what people are saying, but if someone mentions your name immediately, oh, they're talking about me. So we do have that in us. But that, because we're part of the parcel of Krishna, that actually comes from Krishna. That's in Krishna too. So if we talk about Krishna, if we call Krishna's name, oh, he's calling my name. Yes, what do you want? Oh, yes. I want to serve you. I want to chant your name. I want to please you. Now, here's a secret that can help us. The Panchatattva, Shishigorni Chai, they do not consider offenses. I mean, they're aware when we commit offenses, and they might give us a little reaction just to sort of teach us a lesson. But they don't take our offenses seriously at all. They just see that we're chanting, we're making an effort. And therefore, they deliver the result of offenseless chanting, which is ecstasy, to people who serve them and chant their holy names. And therefore Srila Prabhupada recommended that before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we begin by chanting the Panchatattva Mantra, so that the Panchatattva will help us to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And some of our God brothers have taken this instruction very seriously. I know Burijan Kapoor, at least at one stage, when he would lead kirtan, he would lead a lot of kirtan of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. And really, he would get into it, and everyone would get into it, because when you really get into chanting those names, then you feel ecstatic, and when you feel ecstatic, then you don't commit offenses. Then you're absorbed. That also came up yesterday. How you do kirtan for hours, and eventually you just get absorbed. It just continues. So the beginning is that chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda or Nitai Gauranga Nitai Gauranga Nitai Gauranga Gaura Hari. And that will cleanse the heart, that will produce a feeling of ecstasy, and then we can chant Hare Krishna with other hands. And so Gaura Nitai are very merciful. It's a very special. We are so fortunate that we have taken birth on earth just so soon after Gaura Nitai appeared, after the Panchatattva. And that too just after Srila Prabhupada, but their Senapati Bhakta, the commander-in-chief of their army. It's incredible what good fortune we have. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original personality of Godhead Krishna as a devotee, he doesn't come in every Kali Yuga. Like once in a day of Brahma, which is a lot of years, millions of years, Krishna himself comes, the original personality of Godhead. And in the Kali Yuga, immediately after Krishna comes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. He's not just the Yuga Avatar. Every Kali Yuga there's a Yuga Avatar. But he's Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani. So we are so fortunate. We are really fortunate. We have every facility. So we just have to take advantage. Like Prabhupada said, it's a scientific process. Just have to follow. I mean, sometimes you do feel despondent because it seems to take time sometimes, but it really, you just follow it and you get the result. And follow me, chant with attention, chant without offense. Nirantarati, like we just read, if you chant without offense, you'll very easily attain Krishna prema. But chanting without offense, Hare Krishna, or Nitai Gauranga. Okay. So, the previous verse mentions that point, that one chants the holy names of the Panchatattva, there are no offenses. But there are offenses to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. One will become ecstatic by chanting without offense, or by first chanting Nitai Gauranga and becoming ecstatic. So there are 10 offenses. I'll just briefly touch on a few of them. One is Sadhu Nindas, the first offense. To blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to preach the glories of the holy name. It's by the mercy of these devotees that we've gotten the holy name. if it weren't for Srila Prabhupada coming with the holy name, or his disciples giving us a book, or inviting us to the temple, or chanting on the streets, we wouldn't have gotten the holy name. It's by the mercy of devotees that we've gotten the holy name. And they're all servants of the holy name. So if we offend them or find fault with them, blaspheme them, we're actually, you know, we're cutting ourselves off from the source of mercy that gives us the holy name and the association we need to progress in chanting. And the holy name takes it as a personal thing. You know, that Prabhupada gave the example that if it's really hot out, like you're in the desert and you're walking barefoot, the scorching sun on your head will hurt, but it'll be nothing compared to the pain you feel under your bare feet. That will be intolerable. So it says that Krishna, he can tolerate, he can bear offenses against him personally, but he cannot tolerate offenses against his dear devotees who have taken shelter at his lotus feet, serving his lotus feet. Then, another one in this context is Gurur Abhagya, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And again, the most essential instruction is to chant 16 rounds daily and to avoid the offenses of the, do that. And then, let's scroll down to number 9. Yeah, that's it. Whoa, just at the top.
Oh.
Dharma Vrata Tyaga. Now, this is a, what to say? It's a peculiarity that in the Sanskrit, the 10 offenses can be divided differently. Different acharyas have divided them differently. So in number 8, the last two words are api pramada, which means, pramada literally means madness, but here it means inattentiveness. Like sometimes we'll read the list from the Nectar of Devotion in the morning, which ends with to not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain it. And then we'll add, and it is also an offense to be inattentive. So that's coming from here, api pramada. And I thought, why is it a form of madness? And it's a form of madness because we're calling Krishna, and then when he comes, we're somewhere else. It's like you invite your best friend over to your house, he comes and rings the doorbell, and then you go and do something else and don't let him in.
Yeah.
Then he goes away, then you phone him up, hey, listen, I really want you to come over. Well, okay, I came, but you didn't let me in. No, you come, I really want to spend time with you. Then he comes, rings the bell, and you ignore him, you go and do something else. So it's a bit sort of a type of madness. You keep inviting someone over, and then you don't let him in. So some sort of strange mentality. Well, that was my thought about pramada, inattention. And then the tenth is translated, cannot have, this is, they're all related, but especially the tenth. To not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachment. We come with material attachments. It's not an offense to have material attachments, but to maintain them is an offense. And it's related to not having faith because we think that we don't have faith that we'll get everything from the holy name. So we think we have to hold on to some material things. And we're afraid that if we let go of them, we won't be happy. And we won't be safe, and we won't be happy. So we don't have faith. But again, this is a subtle point for devotees, because we engage material things in the service of the Lord. We don't reject material things. So we might be attached for something material, attached to something material because we use it in Krishna's service, like the body, or any paraphernalia. But what, and Rupa Goswami explains, anasaktasya vishayan, that one should not be attached to the objects of the senses, but use them, anything and everything, in the service of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example that the microphone is a material thing, but we can use it in the service of the Lord. We don't reject it because it's material. But at the same time, we're not attached to its means, that if it's not there, we won't stop our service. It's a facility. If it's there, it would be easier for people to hear us. But if it's not there, it doesn't mean that we don't chant or we don't speak about Krishna. So it's like that. Whatever facility we have, we can use it in Krishna's service. We don't reject it. But not that if I don't have it, then I won't serve Krishna. No condition. No condition. So that's... and then some things we just... You can't use in Krishna's service. Like offenses, envy, and sinful activity. But those we just reject. Hare Krishna. And it's very embarrassing to talk on these subjects because my realizations are all negative. I have realization of what it means to be offensive. I don't have realization of what it means not to be offensive. So it's a sort of incomplete realization, but probably we should speak according to our realization. So, okay, we're committing offenses, and the point was made, and it's true, if one commits offenses, the result is, the reaction is one develops material attachment. So then, okay, we're chanting, we're committing offenses, that doesn't mean we shouldn't chant. Well, that offensive mentality that we're talking about, I should explain this in brief. There's three stages in chanting. One is the offensive stage, one is the clearing stage, and one is the pure stage. In Sanskrit, Namaparad, Namabad, and Shudanam. So, if one is committing offenses and not making a serious effort to avoid them, that's the offensive stage. But if we're committing offenses because of habit, bad habit, but we're making an effort to avoid the offenses, a sustained effort to avoid the offenses, that's the clearing stage. And it's expected that we will commit some minor offenses when we're in the clearing stage. The clearing stage means we're clearing the offenses, we're clearing anartha, we're clearing the ignorance. And that's And we're becoming elevated, we're becoming purified, and we're becoming elevated. So we shouldn't think that, I'm committing offenses, so I'm going to go down. You are, but if you're trying to avoid them, you're going to go up. It's understood you will commit some, but you're trying to avoid them, and they're decreasing, so you'll make progress. And in any case, one has to keep chanting. In any case, one has to keep chanting. And here's the verse from the Padma Purana. The Padma Purana lists the 10 offenses. The Padma Purana also, and the Padma Purana says what I said, like if you commit seva aparad, you can take shelter of the Lord. And if you commit offenses against the Lord, even then you can take shelter of the holy name. But if you commit offenses against the holy name, there's no relief. But here's the solution. Nama parada yuktana namanyeva harantyagam avi shanti prayuktani tanyevartha karanicha. If one becomes determined and continues his chanting of the holy name and does not give up the process of chanting, the holy name will remove all his sins and grant to him the most valuable spiritual benefit. So just persevere. Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that if you're very sick, like you have a high fever and you're wasted away by the fever and you can't get the full benefit of the food you eat, but still you have to eat a little, even if you can't digest much, just eat a little, you'll be able to digest something and gradually you will get your strength back. But that wouldn't apply to us because we're not committing any serious offenses. That's only to commit serious offenses. We just keep chanting, praying and trying our best. Now, if we do that, eventually we'll come to this stage. That was the second verse. This is the third verse. Shanadapi suniche na One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. And this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is the way to develop pure love of God. Srila Prabhupada was a pharmacist in Grihastha Ashram, and one of his god brothers from before he Prabhupada came to America happened to meet him many years later. And his god brother said, You're a pharmacist, you know all of the different formulas. Do you know the formula for developing love of God? Can you give me the formula for that? Prabhupada said, yes, I can. Janadati suniche natarati suniche. So this is possible for us to experience this stage. But it's In the second verse, we feel humble because we realize we have no attraction. In this stage, we feel humble because we have no attraction because we're attached to the body. We're inattentive, basically, because we're attached to the body. In this verse, we've gotten relief from false identification with the body. And one feels humble because one realizes it's not the body. All of our pride relates to the body. You know, whatever, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm intelligent, I'm learned. But if we realize we're not the body, then what are we? We're an insignificant living entity, one ten thousandth the size of the tip of a hair. That's how small we are. That's much smaller than a blade of grass. We're much smaller than a blade of grass in our actual identity. And we're none of these things that we think we are big people, you know.
not in the sense of whatever we think we are. And then when we realize we're not the body, then we tolerate it. We tolerate it. It's not me. You know, someone steps on my toe, I tolerate it. It's not me, it's my toe. And I keep chanting. I don't get distressed. Oh, he stepped on my toe, I'm going to get him. Okay. He stepped on my toe. He doesn't know what he's in for. Okay, he stepped on my toe. It's not me, it's my toe. Let's go on chanting, let's not get distressed. Amanina. That means we don't want to be respected by others. In the Bhagavad Gita, one of the items of knowledge is humility. And Prabhupada explains humility means that we don't have that desire to be honored by others. So why should we accept the body that is giving honor to the body? Or disrespect the body? It's not me. Better go on with my chanting. And manadena means that we're ready to give all respect to others. It comes at this stage of chanting. This is anyway, so much to say, but this corresponds to the stage of nishtha. That after anagnivritti, the previous one, that clearing state, that's like anagnivritti. And when we clear the anarthas to a large extent, then we come to this stage, nishtha, which means we're fixed, we're steady. Chaitanya Siddhari, we're not distracted, we're steady. But this point about manadena, offering respects to others, we offer respects to others, but according to their position. This is a basic principle in Shastra, that you offer respect to a person according to his position. And the Acharyas who commented on this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, we offer respect according to their position. And sometimes we offer respect to people who are important in the material world, like when we have the first Delhi Pandal, the Governor General of Delhi, came, and Prabhupada got off of the Vyasasan and like greeted him and said, he's an important person in the material world. And when Sanatana Goswami, he took sick leave, he was the Prime Minister of Nawab Hussain Shah, he took sick leave so that he could study Srimad Bhagavatam at home. And the Nawab, he was like a great Muslim tyrant, you know, he was getting impatient, you know, where's my Prime Minister? So one day he just burst into Sanatana Goswami's room to see why he was so sick, why he wasn't coming to work. And there he found him with all the Brahmins and Vaishnavas studying Srimad Bhagavatam. But as soon as he came to the door, they all stood up in respect. And Srila Prabhupada explained that, like Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, know that all great things in this world are spring from a spark of my splendor. So somehow he was been blessed by Krishna, whatever the reason, to be the emperor. And so they stood up and offered him respect. Even though he's a meat eater, you know, all the bad things, but still, he's an important person. And they showed him respect because they felt that he could not be in that position without Krishna's sanction. So Prabhupada also, he was, when a governor would come, like Governor Pulareddy came to the opening of Krishna, Prabhupada, you know, got up and received him, sat next to him. So that's one kind of respect. And we respect the demigods. We don't disrespect them, that's an offense. We don't think that they're equal to Krishna or independent of Krishna, but we respect them. But mainly, we respect devotees, pure devotees. And we see everyone, because we're not on the bodily platform now. So we see that everyone is spirit soul. We see everyone is eternal servant of Krishna, and especially those who are actively engaged in chanting the holy name. So we offer them respect. Now, sometimes we may be in a position where we have to instruct others, or where we have the privilege to instruct others about the holy name. And again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explain that as a servant, we can instruct others about the holy name. But we do it by with affection to encourage them. You know, we speak nicely to them with affection to encourage them. And that is a manina, not that, oh, now I'm going to become a big instructor here and I'm going to be worshipped by Vaishnava. That is anathema. That is like death. If someone wants to put himself in a position of like being above Vaishnava as a guru or instructor, that is disaster. So one does it, but in that mood of amanita, not doing it because I want to be respected, I want to be honored, but doing it because genuinely you want to help another person. Krishna consciousness.
I don't know, I'm kind of confused. Cultivating humility.
Yeah. Oh, he's a little confused because he said that we're talking about cultivating humility as part of the process of surrender and proper chanting. And because what's the relationship between humility and low self-esteem? Now, I'm not an expert in low self-esteem, because, well, it's quite obvious. But this came up at our Java retreat with the Vindasuru Prabhu, so I'll just say something of what he said, because I was in India for many years, and I didn't keep current with a lot of the newer thinking in terms of psychology and sociology. But what he said is that studies have shown that people with high self-esteem are more humble, and people with low self-esteem are more arrogant. The idea is that if someone has high self-esteem, he doesn't feel insecure about himself or his identity or his basic worth. And therefore, he can be humble. He can admit when he's wrong. He can admit when someone is better than he is in some way. Whereas someone who has low self-esteem, who lacks a basic sense of his own worth, feels so insecure about his identity, his worthiness, that he's always like fighting to show that he has some value. And so he wants to show that he's as good as others or better. Doesn't want to admit that he's wrong. Wants to show that he's right, and so on. And you know, materially,
religious group who said that people who have had parents that gave them a lot of unconditional love when they were growing up, they have high self-esteem. Because their love is based, the love they received was based on the fact that they were who they were. It wasn't based, it was based on who they are. It wasn't based on what they did. Now, and people whose parents' love was conditional, but I'll love you if you, you know, if you don't cry, or I'll love you if you finish all the food on your plate, or I'll love you if you get A's in class, or, you know. They always felt insecure because they always had to produce. And they would never be sure that they could produce enough. Now, if we translate that spiritually, we're eternal spirit souls of part and parcel of Krishna, so we have an intrinsic value. We have the same qualities as Krishna, although in minute quantities. Like Prabhupada said, Krishna's like the gold mine, and we're like a particle of gold, but it's still gold. So we spiritually we have intrinsic value because we're part and parcel of Krishna. And because we're part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna loves us unconditionally. Because we're part of him, we're like part of his family. And so that is there, that intrinsic worth is there, an intrinsic worthiness or worth is there. And it's not based on the body. This is one of the most important themes in bhakti, that Krishna is not pleased. You know, you cannot get Krishna by bodily strength, by physical beauty, by knowledge and scholarship. The only thing that will conquer Krishna is love. And anyone can love Krishna, and it doesn't depend on any material qualification, any asset. You know? And, yeah, that's another thing. We have knowledge, we can use it in Krishna's service, we have abilities. But what pleases Krishna is our devotion, our moving devotion, not anything material. So even an animal, there are examples. Chitayu, the bird, Gajendra, the elephant, Hanuman. They weren't even in human bodies, but they still pleased Krishna by their love. So this is like a really important point. Really important point. Yes. Very good. If we think we're the body, our self-esteem will be low. But if we think we're part and parcel of Krishna, our self-esteem will be high. Our real self. That's our real self. Yes?
I was just thinking, I always like the way Vrishnava Maharaj for that same question. I think you were saying, humility is not just thinking less of yourself, but thinking less about yourself. So sometimes with people with low self-esteem, they're just always thinking about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very self-centered, whereas humility is selfless.
Yeah, very good. Humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself, it means thinking of yourself less. And that other Dravida?
I'm sorry?
I was talking about the other Dravida, but when you heard the name Dravida, you perked up. You really perked up. That proves my earlier point.
Because I have
also. Yeah, the other Dravida, You said that Prabhupada, it's the same thing as being part and parcel of Krishna. You said that Prabhupada, you know, Krishna has so many other servants, why should he care about us? You know, he doesn't need us. And Prabhupada said, it's like, you have 10 fingers. Now, if one of your fingers is hurt, will you think, oh, I have 9 other fingers. I don't need the 10th one. No, it's part and parcel of you. You want every part of you. It doesn't matter that you've got 9 others. You want them all. Yes, the other bar of
Prabhu. Another point on this Krishna caring about us. One amazing fact is that he's Buddhist super soul.
Mm.
And he's never left him. Birth after birth after birth. I think that's a inconceivable and amazing.
That's true. Krishna loves us so much, he stays with us wherever we go, into whatever body we go. Like yesterday, you're saying how Krishna is my friend because he's always with me. But he has a super soul, probably even if you go in the body of a swine, Krishna will still follow you there. He loves you so much, he'll never let you go. It's very nice. But the holy name is even more merciful than Krishna. So he is Krishna. You've all spoken very important truth. This is the value of the association of the book. Okay, good stuff. That one. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Hari Nam Prabhu ki jai, Torah.